Okay, so we're here with Eddie Mendez, who is the owner of the CRC Football Is Back account. He is an incredible bank of knowledge for all things Costa Rican soccer, and as you see from his hat, a proud Saprissa fan, a true Morado. Eddie, how are you today?
Voice is a little shot from the weekend, but I'm doing well overall.
So I wanted to bring on Eddie. Some people had requested some more coverage in terms of, letting Philadelphia Union fans know about what Saprissa is all about. Obviously, not the first time the Philadelphia Union are facing off against them. You have to turn the calendar back three times to remember such a heated match or matches in both silent stadiums, really, because of COVID. So I wanted to bring Eddie back so everybody would have an opportunity to listen to 15, 20 minutes of some knowledge about who we're actually facing. Obviously, I've tried my best to digest and share some more, but it's nothing like getting somebody who's in the weeds about it, like Eddie. So, Eddie, tell us about yourself, what you do, and sort of obviously you're from Costa Rica, as I gather. Tell us why Saprissa?
Well, I mean that's more of a boyhood thing. My father grew up, in Costa Rica. You really it's like it is in Spain. You pick one of two sides, unless you're unfortunate enough to be like a Cartago fan or something. But for the most part, you're either a Manudo or you're a Morado. Oddly enough, the last time I was in Costa Rica, I felt more at home when I was in Alajuela, but I bleed purple. I cover Costa Rica in depth, especially the first division. I used to work. I was a senior analyst at Opta, so I used to analyze games for MLS and Liga MX. And when essentially they shut the offices down, I had nothing to do with myself. So I basically created my own little proprietary grading system, and I've been analyzing the games in Costa Rica along the same path with some more of my coaching background involved in it. So I follow every team in Costa Rica in deep analysis. I can talk to you for 2 hours about Asunción Deportivo Guanacasteca if you wanted to. But people really, when they think of Costa Rican soccer, you're thinking of the big two, really. And Eddie, as they've made their way into it, especially now beating Toluca, I think people are going to learn more about how good Heredia is. But the giants of Costa Rica are Alajuela and Saprissa, and I think I picked the right side of history on that one.
That's too funny, and I think for people to better understand too is this is a league that goes or separates itself in terms of two different tournaments, much like Liga MX. So you technically have the opportunity to win one of two and crown yourself as an Apertura or Clausura champion, which I think is awesome and also allows for scheduling to be a little bit more flexible per se, right? Versus what maybe MLS goes through and playing in an off-season type of calendar that makes a mess with international windows and all the rest. But that's a different conversation altogether, Eddie, that you and I could have for like 3 hours to really, our gripes with MLS. So I want you to kind of give us a primer on Saprissa. Obviously, people who may not know, Saprissa already 8 games, I believe, into their tournament. Tell us a little bit about what the preseason was going into those first 8 games. And then if you can give us sort of a quick summary on where the fandom is in terms of their performances during those 8 games, because they're not in first place.
No, they're three-peat champions. I will say what the Union may remember from Saprissa the last time that we faced off, I promise you it's not going to be anywhere near what you remember. I was actually looking at the lineup this morning that we played, and I was looking at names like Jordy Evans, Jedwin Lustre, David Guzman was starting. There was Jimmy Marin was on the bench. Like the team that you guys will play tonight is significantly improved, and the stadium won't be empty because COVID is over and we're back in the stadiums at this point in Costa Rica. But the season it has started a little slow. I think some of that has to do with the key piece is missing. Like Kendall Watson's been out with injury, so we're relying on a young center back, Douglas Cicada. I'm not the biggest on. We try to pick up this kid, Eduardo Anderson, that played for San Carlos, but he hasn't been integrated into the squad yet. So when you look at pieces like that are missing, like Kendall Watson is really the heart and soul of that team, and Fidel Escobar's done a great job in his absence and kind of a new role as a six. But I think it's more of trying to integrate Luis Diaz, figure out how he's going to fit, figure out the rotations with Javon East and Luis Paradela, and just really trying to figure out what the squad is going to look like as they push up towards the playoff, because the expectation is they'll finish in the top four, they'll make the playoff, and then they'll try and push for a four-peat. The crowds of in Costa Rica, the fan base is very fickle. Vladimir Quezada is not necessarily always the most well-liked person ever since we got eliminated in the CONCACAF League last season. But he, in the playoff games and in the big games, he manages to really do a good job and outcoaches a lot of his counterparts here in Costa Rica.
So let's talk about those first eight games. What are the fans feeling in terms of those performances? And frankly, after listening to Vladimir yesterday and sort of digesting what he said, it almost felt, at least the press that was there was really honing in on the fact that Saprissa has eight matches under their belt versus Philadelphia Union, that's technically still under preparation. And I could tell that Vladimir was a little annoyed. I don't know if that has anything to do with recent performances, but I'd let you sort of have the floor in terms of that topic.
Yeah, I think with that topic, it's more of like they're trying to undo what the quality is. Like Philadelphia is going to come into Costa Rica with quality. Like there's no denying that. But I think it's more of like, hey, they are not in form. They're in preseason form. They're not ready to really play. You have eight games, so there's really no excuse for you. And I think that he probably feels that that's an unfair way of looking at it, because quality is quality. And Philadelphia very clearly is going to come to La Cueva tonight with quality. And I don't think that he wants to have that kind of narrative painted, because, you know, eight games is eight games, but we're still, I still say Saprissa is, you know, they'll hit mid-season form. You know, probably they need another eight heading into the playoff, because, you know, when you win three championships in Costa Rica, that's a very congested schedule. That's a lot of games. And, you know, for us being liderato and playing Gran Finales, like it does take a toll. So even though like we have eight games under us, it really is like three seasons worth of football that, you know, eventually is going to catch up to you. So you have to incorporate a lot of these new guys, and you got to get some new rotation patterns set. And that, you know, that takes time. And you know, even though they're not top of the table now, I think the overall consensus is that they'll eventually figure it out, and they'll get back to the top where they belong.
So let's talk about those new additions. Obviously, as you and I spoke about leading into this conversation, transfer market sort of makes a mess and jumbles up, you know, loans that are returning versus actual new additions. And obviously a big one with a guy coming from Colorado. I believe it was Colorado during the offseason. Tell us about maybe two or three names to really keep an eye on. And obviously you also mentioned one that's injured that's going to be missing for tonight's match. But tell us a little bit about the names to keep an eye out on. Obviously, again, this roster just wildly different, both sides actually, from the matchup 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the two biggest names are going to be Fidel Escobar and Mariano Torres. Those are the two biggest threats that Saprissa have. And quite honestly, I'm really curious how they're going to deploy Fidel Escobar, because for the most part in Costa Rica, Saprissa is able to play, you know, 4-3-3. And one of the biggest changes going into like late last season was the moving of Fidel Escobar from center back into that holding mid position. And Fidel Escobar, you know, is what I would consider a deep line playmaker with some destroying qualities. The dude can straight up spray, and he can hit 60-yard diagonals. And when you look at the horses that Saprissa has up top with Javon East and Luis Paradela and Warren Madrigal and Luis Diaz now, you know, you get those guys in transition and in space, especially in Costa Rica, like that's a massive threat. But, you know, with Kendall Waston out, and my worry then becomes, you can't have Pablo Arboin next to Douglas Cicada in a back four, because I feel like that spells trouble. So, you know, does Saprissa go to a back three and then kind of slide Fidel as sort of that sweeping type center back? And maybe David Guzman comes in midfield and sort of a double pivot with Mariano Torres, because knowing what I know about the Union system, A 3-4-3 will cause more problems than most other formations. So when I think of Fidel Escobar in that sweeping center back role because of his quality on the ball, and then I think of that double pivot of Mariano and David Guzman, I feel like it makes the most sense. And then that allows you to have, you know, wingbacks like Cleaver Gomez that won't get exposed, Joseph Mota that won't get exposed. And then you allow, you know, the guys up front to really have a little bit more freedom. But the in terms of quality, Mariano Torres to me has been the best player in Costa Rica for the last two full years and about five torneos. He's you know, he's older, but he's Argentinian. He's quality. He's really the one that drives that engine in midfield. He's very creative, difficult to take off the ball. Just a very smart, intelligent player. And even though he doesn't have the pace, he like his quality on the ball, he can break any team down. And I feel like that's going to be the biggest change that people are going to see from a few years ago is the quality that we're going to have on the ball now and the horses that we're going to have up top.
So speaking of that quality and maybe the difference between the team from 3 years ago versus the team today, again, doing a cursory look through transfer market, do you believe that it will certainly feel, and obviously you know better than most, and you and I understand this, you don't play the game on paper. You don't play the game on transfer market. But using transfer market, which Jim Curtin, the head coach of the Philadelphia Union, mentions over and over again when thinking about player values, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you really think it's going to feel like an $8 million team versus a $57 million team? Or is this going to be a lot closer? And what would be the X factor? And I have an idea of what it would be. And I think it's La Cueva. I think that that fan base is going to make a huge difference. But I'd be eager to hear from you if you do envision that this will be that big of a gulf in quality. And I personally don't believe so.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are a little bit of scars in Costa Rican football, thinking of the last couple of CCL tournaments where we haven't had a great showing and we've really kind of embarrassed ourselves. And, you know, the quality starting to drip into the national team, like it's felt really low. But, you know, when you look at what Heredia was able to accomplish with the Luca, and I think Heredia has a lot of talent on that roster that I think will project to the next level. You know, I have a lot of respect for the Union and what they're able to accomplish. I'm actually shocked 57 million feels a little high for a team that doesn't buy anybody.
You're not wrong, especially when the biggest what the club biggest signing ever is Mikel Ua, and I think that was like just over 2 million, I think. So like that seems high, but hey, it's transfer market, you know. That's what Jim
feels a little high. I'm not going to lie. But I know you guys do a good job of developing and selling on. So maybe that's where it comes from. But, you know, I do think that if people think this is going to be the 5-0, and I swear if I get freezing cold taked on this, but if people think it's going to be, what was it, 5-0 last time, and then Ricardo Blanco coming in, guns blazing, taking out one of your dudes, bitterness, kind of embarrassment. If people think it's going to be that, I think they're in for a rude awakening. This Saprissa team, going back to three windows ago, they put together what I said was the best transfer window I've ever seen in Costa Rica. And that's when they picked up Javon East. They picked up Luis Paradela. They picked up Pablo Arbuen. They picked up a lot of guys that became what is now the core of a three-peat championship team. And, you know, the addition of Mariano Torres, who's become like the best foreigner in the history of the league. I think it's going to be a lot closer than you would imagine what those transfer market values are going to say. I think the biggest X factor for me is going to be Kendall Watson is a massive missing piece. And I still worry about what that back line is going to look like. You know, I don't think you put Eduardo Anderson out there. Still too early. He's young. You know, Douglas Cicada, he's not built for this level. And it's really how they utilize Fidel Escobar. That to me is going to be, for me, the X factor is going to come down to the tactics. I would go 3-4-3. I like the idea of Fidel in that back line protecting somebody like Douglas Cicada. I like the double pivot that will cause more problems for the Union's formation, especially that little roaming player, that 10 behind the two strikers. I feel like that quality in midfield would cause problems. And then, like you mentioned, La Cueva is different. La Cueva is, when it's at capacity, you feel the ground shake. You can't have a good pregame tactic talk. You feel el ambiente, like we call it in Costa Rica, it's on top of you, está encima. So when you add all those factors, if my coach can do a good job coaching, we have a legitimate shot of getting a result tonight. And then the word is Kendall Watson should be back for the return leg when we go to Philly. From there, we'll see what happens. But, you know, it won't be a blowout like it was a few years ago.
Do you expect a sellout at La Cueva for tonight? Or I know it's a weeknight.
I haven't checked the numbers, to be honest. Okay. But I would imagine it's close to a sellout, if not already sold out.
You'd like to think that, you know, Costa Rica fans and Saprissa fans would take advantage of an opportunity like this, right? To see a team that's made up of, and in the grand scheme of, you know, football across the world, Julian Carranza is not moving needles, but when you're talking about CONCACAF Champions Cup, he's a player that, you know, attracting so much attention from Europe, and someone like Daniel Gazdag, who's going to be hopefully, barring any injuries or any craziness, representing Hungary at the Euros, you'd think that the Costa Rica fans would be champing at the bits a little bit to go see a team with those types of players now.
I wouldn't even say it's that. For us, we really care about CCL. You know, we care about what was it before, the CONCACAF Champions Cup. For us, this is part of our lineage, because our crowning moment, our greatest achievement, was getting to that FIFA Club World Cup and playing Liverpool in the semis and finishing third ultimately that year. And that was with like the Christian Bolaños team. So, you know, when we get that badge and it has the number of CONCACAF championships on it, like, we wear that three, exactly. We wear that with pride. It's not like Heredia, like it's just there. But for us, like, this actually means something. And a lot of teams, you know, this is not my first go around actually talking to MLS teams about coming to La Cueva. Like, I think of Portland having to come here and realizing, oh wow, these guys really care. So for us, it's more about the competition and what it stands for and wanting to do good in it. Because one of the biggest debates in Costa Rica is, was last year a success with the three-peat? Because Alajuela won the CONCACAF League and we were eliminated. I think it was Real Esteli that eliminated us. So, you know, we call that a fracaso. People were calling for Vladimir's head. And it's like, we're back-to-back champions. We set the points record, the most points in the history of the league ever, and they three-peat. And then they're questioning, was it a success because Alajuela won CONCACAF League? So the competition means a lot to us.
That's awesome. I actually see a lot of, you know, similar narratives with Philadelphia in terms of, like, you know, finished third in the League's Cup, finished in the semifinals of the overall MLS tournament. Was it a failure? Some teams would bite their arm off for the type of performances that the Union are putting together, but ultimately, the standards are just gotten so high over the last few years, and certainly underneath someone like Jim Curtin, that last year was deemed as a failure here in Philadelphia by a lot of people. So I wonder if that's weighing heavy on the players as they approach CONCACAF, the Champions Cup this year. Though it must be said, and I think a lot of folks here in the Philadelphia side are forgetting, the only reason why the Union are in this tournament is because Monterrey and they ended up winning the game that, you know, you play the game that you're put into. But during the Champions, the League's Cup for the third place match, Monterrey had nothing to win since they had already qualified for CONCACAF Champions Cup at that point. So the Union faced a majority of a B, maybe C team out of Monterrey. So let's not forget that the only reason that the Union have continental soccer this year is because Monterrey just did not care. And Tano Ortiz was just trying to give youngsters a chance. I think we saw a couple triple digit jerseys get into the game. That's just how much, you know, they just wanted to get a body out there to play. So just wanted to sort of add that context that I think a lot of talking heads that cover the Union, maybe beat reporters or actual podcasters, are not really saying out loud, but ultimately, you know, the Union earned their way into the tournament. Well, Eddie, as we close out, I want to ask you about your predictions in terms of lineup. You sort of alluded to it with the 3-4-3 with the double pivot. I don't know if you want to add more to that. And then ultimately, where do you see the first match going? Obviously, with La Cueva being home field advantage for Saprissa and your final score prediction leading into. And, you know, we'll have to revisit this conversation maybe leading into the Philadelphia match in such a quick turnaround.
Yeah, like I said, I'm hoping 3-4-3. I don't think you go into this match, and especially the Union system, I don't think you can play 4-3-3 against it. That system is designed to destroy the 4-3-3. So I would go with what causes it problems and protect your weakest links in the back line. So I would go 3-4-3. You know, that would allow somebody like Kleber Gomez to play right wing back, or if you want to play even more defensive, you can put Jarrad Taylor out there. But it's more going to be what that front three looks like. I would imagine Juan Madrigal, he's a young kid that actually had rumors to go to Espanyol in La Liga. But you know, it kind of fell through at the last minute. But the expectation is that he will move on in the summer. You know, as a young teenager, he's not really what you would consider like the mold of a nine. But he's one of those fox in the box weird kids that he always manages to be in the right place at the right time. Javon East playing on the wing, I don't think he's going to be a pacier threat. Could be somebody that'll drift in central and allow the overlapping fullback to really exploit the space there. He has more of the nine quality, so I think that's going to be the biggest thing that you'll notice, is that probably our best striker is going to be on the wing, and we'll have like a weird fox in the box type up there. We have a lot of depth. We have a guy like Ariel Rodriguez. He's experienced. He comes off the bench. We call him a bagsman because the guy always manages, just like Warren, to find a goal. So I would imagine 3-4-3. I'm praying 3-4-3 because I feel like tactically it adds up. And if we do that with La Cueva behind us, score 2-1, we get the 3 points at home. But come back to me and talk to me what happened in Philly afterwards. If I get Kendall Waston back, maybe I'll pray for a draw. But for tonight, I think we managed to get the 3 points tonight.
That's awesome. Full transparency, and I'll say it out loud because I'm not going to ask you for a prediction. If not, I'm not putting a prediction out there. I actually envision this being a 1-1 draw. I think the Union are going to go for it. They have to go for it. Obviously, a very successful team at home at Subaru Park, but I also know that Jim Curtin and company will want to put a show for the very first game of the season being at home on this coming Saturday as well. So what does that mean for the squad? Alejandro Bedoya being re-signed after a controversial issue in terms of Ernst Tanner, the sporting director, telling him within 20 sec a 20-second conversation that he was no longer part of the plan for the future. Fast forward to a lot of pressure from the fans externally, and maybe from even within, with the teammates publicly asking for it to be righted and re-signing. So I would think that Alejandro Bedoya will feature at home. Can he play 90 Tuesday and play 30 or 60 on Saturday? Who knows? I mean, I'm not even sure what type of shape he's in, despite, you know, considering, I should say, he joined preseason during the second phase, so missed the first 2 weeks, I believe, 2.5 weeks of preseason. So it'll be a very interesting matchup. I do envision that it's a 1-1, and I really, really do believe that having bodies on seats, or standing probably, in La Cueva is just going to make all the difference for this matchup. But Eddie, thank you so much. As we depart, any final comments on things for us Philadelphia Union press, as well as fans, to look out for tonight's match, despite it being very, very late on FS2 and 06 kickoff?
Going to be a late one. I hope you catch the CCL fever. No, you know, this, like I said, I've had a lot of conversations with different MLS, you know, beat writers, and you know, communicating on Twitter with different MLS fan bases. I have a weird relationship with MLS in general. But I would say that the Union fan base is probably one of the thirstiest for knowledge, and I do appreciate that. You guys always come to me correct, always respectfully. One of my favorite fan bases to interact with, so much so that the last time we played each other, I actually bought a Philadelphia Union jersey that I'll have. So if you guys advance, I will root for you until you play, you know, one of our teams, maybe down the line, probably not, but I do respect your fan base and how much you guys care about this competition, because for some reason not every fan base did. They kind of view it as a throwaway. They worried more about MLS Cup, or you know, kind of like this myopic view about it. But I think the Union fan base are very thirsty for knowledge. They're very thirsty for competition, and I have a lot of respect for that.
no, Eddie, if anything, so head maestro, you're the master. We come to you for this type of stuff. I would never, ever try to put myself as an expert of anything outside of the lane that I'm in, which is Philadelphia. And even that, gosh, people would look at me like I'm an idiot most of the time with what I say out loud or type out. But Eddie, let's try to connect again, maybe Monday, before the Philadelphia match, and maybe we can just have a revisit to this conversation. But for now, Eddie, best of luck tonight for Saprissa. Hopefully not too much luck. And, on our end, we come up with a victory, but obviously again, La Cueva, I think, is going to be the biggest character of them all tonight. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Follow Eddie. I will make sure to tag his account on this post, and Dupe, and good luck, Eddie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.